Chapter 1.
Is this really what we're doing today?
Leah chuckled as the wind of the Cincinnati autumn blew her blonde locks around like they were underwater.
Playing fairy tale princess? I'll admit,
Janine interjected while she pushed her glasses up her nose.
I thought it was pretty amusing at first, too.
What are you complaining about? I'm the one who has to actually talk to the animals.
Oh, Jesus.
Our old spunky parking attendant Paul grunted.
Here I thought the weirdest thing about my boss was him being a giant, angry kitty cat.
Werepanther.
The succubus, Ada, corrected, as she ran her right hand through her jet-black hair.
And I think it's pretty hot he can talk to animals. Makes him seem more well-rounded and sensitive. Plus, it allows him to say all sorts of new, dirty things in the bedroom.
Paul and our security chief, Tony, both looked at each other with expressions that were equal parts perplexed and disgusted.
Keep that to yourself, please,
Tony said, as he shook his bald head repeatedly.
You said you wanted us all out here for an important matter of business? What's talking to the animals in the park have to do with security?
Everything, I explained. Now that Orglon is dead, there's a huge power vacuum in the Midwest, and all of the major bodies of water have been left unclaimed.
And the hot blonde here doesn't want to take his place,
Ada said with a sultry pout, and then she rubbed her fingers along Leah's back.
Even though she would be the natural choice.
I didn't say I wouldn't do it. I just said I can't fully commit to the role right now. I've still got 2 more years of school left, and since I'm going into my junior year, there's going to be a lot more lab practicals and field work. Plus, the classes are going to start getting harder and harder the closer I get to my last semester. I just don't have a bunch of extra time right now, so I'll have to be a part-timer.
Who needs a degree, though, love? Wouldn't it be much more liberating for you to be the master of waters in the Midwest?
I mean, yeah,
Leah admitted as she trailed off.
But I'm no quitter. I started this degree, and I'm damn well gonna finish it. If I play my cards right and finish strong, I might even get into grad school.
More school?
Ada stuck out her tongue and gagged.
Ugh.
That sounds dreadful. I didn't even finish 1 year. It was so terribly boring.
When was that, though?
Janine teased.
Ancient Sumer.
Babylon, thank you very much.
The succubus put her hands on her hips.
I would never associate myself with those awful Sumerians.
Wait a minute,
Paul said, as he squinted and pointed at Ada.
You're telling us you're really 5,000 years old.
Of course not,
Ada gasped and placed her hands on her chest.
I'm only 4,152, thank you very much.
Oh, my bad.
Paul held up his hands and chuckled.
I should know better than to assume a woman's age.
What the hell was school even like back then? Learning hieroglyphics?
Cuneiform?
Janine corrected.
Come on, Mr. History Major, you should know that.
Yeah, yeah, I said, and I waved my hand. I haven't been to classes in months now, so I'm a little rusty.
The point still stands,
Leah argued, as she turned to the succubus.
It sounds like you hated what you were learning back then, Ada, and I absolutely love what I'm studying. I could do it from now until the day I die.
She's gonna discover a new species, I joked as I pointed at the blonde biology major. Even though she's technically already discovered, like, 3 in the last few weeks.
All you'd have to do is walk up to one of your professors with Carter and have him transform,
Ada said with a half smirk.
There. New species discovered.
I want to do it the right way, though.
Leah shook her head.
I want to follow the right processes, do the field research, and discover the new species for myself. You know, publish the findings in scientific journals and present it at conferences, debate its authenticity with other scientists until it's accepted as a scientific fact, or at least a theory.
Wow. You make the redhead here look cool in comparison.
Hey!
Janine huffed, and then she crossed her arms over her perky breasts.
I'm plenty cool.
Totally, I added with a warm smile. Leah and Janine are both really fucking cool. I don't let anybody join my team unless they are, you know.
Aw, shucks,
Paul said in the most sarcastically fake tone I'd ever heard.
Oh, that truly melts my icy black heart, boss. Now, can you tell us why we're out here talking to a bunch of fish? I got a brand new Sudoku book calling my name, and it ain't gonna solve itself.
Fair enough. We can't let those little boxes sit there empty now, can we? Okay, so the reason I brought you out here is because of that power vacuum I was talking about earlier. Like Leah just said, she'll be happy to take on the role of ambassador for all these bodies of water, under my direction.
So she'll have control over them, but she'll be acting on your behalf. But you'll really have all the control.
Oh, brilliant, boss.
That's the gist of it, yeah. I nodded. Leah can't control every single body of water in the Midwest, though. Even Orglan couldn't. He was only one guy, but he had a lot of minions that watched over his territory for him when he wasn't around.
So that's what we're doing?
Janine asked, as she cocked her head.
We're making our own minions?
I hate that term.
I made a face.
Let's call them scouts. I like that word a lot better.
So we're making the fish your scouts?
Paul raised an eyebrow.
Maybe I'm finally going senile, but I don't get it.
More than just the fish. The birds, the snakes, the frogs, and any animal that's willing to work with us. We can cover a lot more territory that way.
How are you going to get the animals to follow you, though, boss? I don't think they're going to go for a pay increase like Paul and I did. And I don't think they're going to be attracted to you for your charm like these lovely ladies are. Don't be so sure. Dude's half cat, remember? Maybe he can put the pussycat charms on the little frogs and the bass and the bats.
I'm not going to pay them, and I'm definitely not going to try to flirt with them.
Yeah, I ain't judging.
Paul smirked. There's two major bargaining chips I'll have over these creatures, I said, as I ignored the old man and continued. One, I'm not Orglan, and from what Ada has told us, Orglan was universally hated by pretty much everyone who didn't serve him.
That's an understatement. He was one miserable son of a bitch who was pretty much impossible to work with.
Exactly. I nodded. He ruled the waters of the Midwest with an iron fist and used fear to keep every creature in line.
And that's not what you're going to do?
Tony asked. No. I shook my head. I'm going to go the other way with Machiavelli. I'm going to make them love the hell out of me so much they actually want to work for me.
You think that's going to work?
Paul huffed as he crossed his arms.
Kid, I've been in this world for way too long, and I've seen it firsthand. No matter how hard you try, no matter how charismatic or kind you are to people, there's going to be somebody who hates your guts. Even if it's for some stupid reason, like they don't like the way you look, or you talk with a weird accent, or some shit like that. People are hard to please, and I can't imagine animals are going to be any different.
That brings me my second point of leverage. I nodded to the old man. What does every single animal want more than anything in the world?
A place to stick their dick in.
Well, okay, yeah, I said with a smirk. That's not what I meant, though.
Food?
That's right, I grinned. We can give them food.
Really?
Paul asked, and I could tell the old man wasn't exactly following the plan.
You're going to feed every single animal in the Midwest. I know the succubus is independently wealthy and all that, but that's a pretty tall order.
I won't have to. I shook my head. I'm going to show them how much better things are under my rule than Orglan's. Unlike that asshole, his muck dwellers, and those OLG fuckers they partnered up with, I'm not going to go around and devour all the resources the animals could be using.
It's true,
Janine added, and the redhead quickly slipped into her excited, scholarly tone.
Think about how much Orglan and his forces damaged the environment around where they went. The muck dwellers ate up pretty much any animals they could get their hands on, and they left their poisonous goop in the water wherever they swam. Then there's the OLG that, according to my research, has been known to use animals in ritual sacrifices and chop down large areas worth of trees and foliage to make places to perform their rituals. There's no love lost between the native animals and Orglan.
Exactly. Under our rule, things will be thriving more than they ever have under Orglan. We'll let the results speak for themselves. But first, we gotta find somebody who can spread the word. As the words left my mouth, I began to look around the park we were standing in. It was only a few blocks away from Cincy's Jewel, and it was one of the least popular parks in the area. The place was full of vibrant plant life and animals, including a pond full of all sorts of aquatic creatures and squirrels and birds that scurried and chirped in the trees. However, from a human point of view, this place was a total dump. The city didn't really take care of the park, which was evidenced by all the overgrown bushes and plants that covered up the sidewalks and footpaths. The small lake at the park's center was green with algae and cattails, while the concrete that made up the sidewalks and the bases of the public pavilions were cracked and crumbled beyond redemption. Then there were the bathrooms. I had no fucking clue when they'd been cleaned last, but the fact I could smell them from all the way across the park made me guess it had been a while. Still, this worked to our advantage. If there were no other humans around, nobody would be questioning the crazy group of people talking to the fish. Suddenly, I noticed a cardinal up in the tree as it fluttered from branch to branch. That was as good of a place to start as any. "Hey there," I said in my most commanding voice. "Are you, do you travel often?" The cardinal stopped munching away on something and then looked around for a second or two before his beady eyes settled on me.
"Are you talking to me?"
he asked with a high-pitched voice. "Believe it or not, yes. Do you travel a lot?"
"I'm a bird. Of course I travel a lot. How can you understand me?"
It's a long story, one I'm sure you'll hear through the grapevine if you hang around long enough.
"Oh, you have grapevines around here? I didn't know they were around this time of year."
That's an expression we humans use. The point is, Orglan is dead, and I'm taking over his territory. The bird's entire body went rigid at the word Orglan, and then he tilted his pointed head to the right.
"Did you say Orglan is dead? The, Master of Waters?"
"The Master of Waters is dead," I nodded, and then I pointed between myself and Leah. "You're looking at the two people who were going to take his place."
"Humans? I don't know how you're talking to me, but there's no way a human's going to be able to rule over all of Orglan's former territory."
"Neither of us are human. I'm a werepanther, and she is a polyworm. Or a polyworm? I always forget which it is."
We have our own name for ourselves in our native tongue. I prefer polywarm, but I don't particularly care."
"Either way, we aren't humans," I said as I looked up at the cardinal. "Make sure everyone you talk to knows that."
"I have no idea what either of those creatures are, and I'll tell anyone if it happens to come up."
No. I shook my head. I want you to spread the word to anyone who will listen, across the entire continental U.S. if you have to, and if you see any men in red robes walking around anywhere, let me know their whereabouts ASAP.
"You're using a lot of words I don't understand,"
the cardinal sighed. "Oh, that's right. Animals probably didn't have any concept of states or borders or countries. Just tell everybody anywhere you fly that Orglan's dead, and Carter Hatfield, the werepanther, is in charge of his territory. And make sure you tell them Leah Nash is the one who's doing my bidding. And warn me if there are any giant groups of red-robed humans walking around this area."
"Okay. I don't know how that affects me at all."
"It affects you all over the place. Now that we're in charge, the muck dwellers and the cultists who are always cutting down your trees and starting fires in your forests won't be allowed to roam free in those territories. You and all of your forest friends will reap the rewards if you help me stay in power."
"So, that's what this is about,"
the cardinal said as he cocked his head at me again.
"You can't control the whole territory on your own."
"I can control things just fine. We just want your help, that's all." I shook my head. "In addition to the message you're delivering to the other creatures, I want you to put out a notice that I need scouts in the air, on the ground, and in the water. If Leah and I are going to patrol all the same territory Orglan used to, we can't do it alone."
"And you say this will be better for me?"
"Much better. You'll have much more food and more livable habitats, which means you'll also be able to attract more mates."
"I'm cautious to believe you, but you are the one who killed Orglan, so I don't want to make you angry at me." "I'll do it, even though I'm not sure you're telling the truth."
"I am. You'll see that in due time. Now, if you could start..." The cardinal reared back his head and let out a long, shrill chirp, followed immediately by a few trilling noises. As he did so, more birds in the trees around us responded with an equally loud sound, until our eardrums were completely assaulted by the song-like chirps.
"There! Now all the other birds in this park know, and they know to spread the word."
Thank you." I nodded to the bird. "If you're back here anytime soon, I promise I'll give you a bag of seeds all to yourself."
"All to myself?"
The bird's black eyes widened.
"That was all you needed to say."
With that, the red bird took off and flew across the park as he chirped and tweeted as loud as he could.
"See?"
I chuckled as I turned back to my friends and lovers. "Food and safety go a long way in getting people to follow you."
"I have no idea what just happened,"
Ada admitted, and frowned up at the sky.
"All we heard was the little bird chirping back at you angrily."
"He's spreading the word. Now, we need to get some eyes and ears in other parts as well." My friends and I spent the next hour or so walking around to different parts of the park and talking to animals in different terrains. I had the same conversation with turtles, fish, a few snakes, and even a couple of rabbits and raccoons trying to hide out in the area. They all seemed to reluctantly agree to the terms of our deal, and soon I had an entire fleet of small animals who'd agreed to keep tabs on Orgland's former territory for us. Once we were all done, I clapped my hands together and smiled at my teammates.
Well, I'll be damned. Carter's a regular old Oprah Winfrey, convincing people to do what he wants just by being so damn charming.
I didn't even know you could charm an animal, to be honest,
Tony said as he scratched his bald head.
So, what do we do now? Do I need to take part in some sort of ceremony to take over Orgland's old position, or...
Paranormals may be all about ceremonies and rituals, love, but we're not that bureaucratic. Orgland is dead, and Carter has his old territory. He's bestowed the title of Master of Waters onto you, so now it's yours. It's that simple.
Well, damn. That was way easier than I'd thought. I wonder if I... Suddenly, my superhuman hearing heard something rustling through the trees in the distance. At first, I thought it might have been another small mammal who wanted to get in on our little deal, but then I focused on the creature's gait. It was bipedal. Then I heard more bipedal creatures walking through the surrounding woods.
Carter?
Janine asked in a hushed whisper.
What's wrong?
We've got company. Human company.
Are you sure it's not just people walking through the park?
Leah asked, as her face paled.
I know this place is kind of shitty, but let's not jump right to the worst-case scenario.
Go hide, Carter.
What? Why should I go hide?
Because you're the stealthiest of us all. So, if that really is an enemy, you can sneak up on them and take them out from behind, all without being caught. And if it's not, then you can just wander out and introduce yourself like you were off taking a piss.
How far away are they? Tony asked as he clenched his fists.
Too close, I said, as I took off toward the nearest patch of forest.
Just hang tight and I'll be watching.
Don't go too far,
I heard Janine whisper as I left. I sprinted across the clearing as fast as I could, and with my enhanced werepanther agility, I must have moved nearly 30 miles an hour. Nevertheless, my footfalls made no sound against the dirt as I ran. Thank you, Bast. Once I was about 10 feet away from the bushes, I sprang into the air and dove into the brush. I fell into a roll as I hit the shrubberies, and then I flipped up onto all fours and held myself in a crouch. Slowly, I peered out across the clearing and narrowed my eyes in the direction of the approaching strangers. Then I heard the footfalls stop. Whoever had been approaching was now still as a statue, so I tried to listen in and see what I could hear.
Did you bring it?
I heard a man's voice whisper.
We don't stand a snowball's chance in hell if you didn't bring it.
I already didn't like where this was going. Something sketchy was going on with these strangers, yet I couldn't put my finger on it.
Psst, I hissed to a bird I saw up in a nearby tree. Do you think you can fly over there and see who those people are?
I can already see them,
the bird squawked back telepathically.
There's 3 humans.
Are they wearing red robes?
I asked.
They're red for sure,
the bird said.
But I don't know what a robe is. Is that a type of feather?
Damn it.
The bird's words made me think these guys were OLG, but I needed to get in closer so I could take these fuckers by surprise. I slowly started to crawl through the brush in the direction of the mystery men, and even though my footfalls didn't make a noise, the branches, bushes, and twigs I kept brushing by certainly did. Every now and then I stopped and waited for the sounds to cease before I moved on, until finally I was about 100 feet away from the spot where the men were hiding.
How the fuck do we even get this to work?
I heard another voice ask.
Do we just say some magic words and evoke his spirit, or...
Don't be a fucking idiot!
Another voice hissed.
I know the spell, and I won't fuck it up. Just go out there and bless the battlefield.
Battlefield? Motherfucker. This was sounding more and more like the OLG, but there were only 3 of them. Why would they only send 3 men against our team? Suddenly, the movement began again, and a trio of figures stepped out of the clearing. When I finally saw them, a tang of primal rage boiled up from my stomach. They were all adorned in crimson-red robes, and the one in the center had an engraved moonstone belt tied up around his waist. Members of the Order of the Lunar God. Still, only 3. What were they trying to pull here?
Where is the bastard of best? All I see are his freakish friends.
He's here, the High Priest growled. Our Lord Khonzu would not lie to us. Now, bless the battlefield, idiots.
Hold on. Khonzu had told them where I was? Was that how they were finding us all the time? Because their god was literally watching us 24/7. That wasn't going to fly. I'd had about enough of these fuckers, and the werepanther inside of me wanted nothing more than to jump out of the bushes and rip these OLG bastards limb from limb. However, before I could do anything, two of the cultists bowed their heads and began to whisper something in their mystery language, and at the same time the High Priest lifted something up into the air. It was a severed hand. A severed hand that had definitely seen better days. Most of the appendage was covered with dark, dried blood and decaying flesh, while the rest of it appeared to be made of a crumbling skeleton. I'd seen enough. I didn't know what the hand was, but I didn't want to find out. It was time to let the werepanther take over. I shut off the human part of my brain, and the primal rage within my core instantly spread out like blood spilled on a sidewalk. My whole body went numb for a second, but then sharp pain jolted through my arms and legs as the muscles started to stretch and extend. My fingers dug into the dirt beneath them as I gritted my teeth and felt my snout, ears, and canines begin to elongate. Then the hair on my body thickened as it started to cover my entire figure, and I heard my shirt, pants, and shoes tear off my body as I transformed into my bipedal monster form. Finally, the pain ceased, and I was fully in my werepanther form. Just in time, too, because the hand in the High Priest's hand was now glowing with silver magic. I let out a loud snarl as I pushed my feet into the ground and launched myself forward as hard as I could, and my body flew through the air like a fucking rocket as I burst through the trees and headed right for the three OLG bastards. None of them even paid me any attention, but that was their mistake. I extended my claws as I landed right beside the fucker on the far left of the group, and then I quickly lashed out at his stomach. He didn't stop chanting as my razor-sharp claw tore through his flesh, but his words grew weaker and more raspy as his innards plopped out at his feet and the color drained from his face. Then I shoved the dying fucker to the side before I stabbed my claw straight through the calf of the High Priest with a wet squelch. The bastard's chant turned into a scream as he went down on one knee, and I slammed his face into the ground to shut him up. Even though I could have smashed his head open like a watermelon right then and there, I wanted to leave him alive for the moment. I wanted to know what the fuck that thing in his hand was. As for the last OLG member, I didn't give a shit about him. The fucker summoned silver magic into his hand as he abandoned his chant, and fear spread across his face. He raised up his palms to try and blast me, but I was way too quick. I reached out with both my paws, wrapped them around his tiny hands, and squeezed as hard as I could. There was a wet crunch as the cultist's hands crumpled like wet cardboard in my grip, and he screamed in agony as blood began to gush out against my palms. Before my opponent had a chance to do anything else, I let out a snarl, opened my mouth, and bit down on his head. The metallic taste of blood filled my mouth as his skull crunched beneath my teeth, and his screams went silent as his body went limp. I spat out his corpse and then turned to the High Priest, who was now trying to feebly crawl toward the glowing silver hand on the ground in front of him. I growled as I sauntered over to the fallen priest and then stomped down on his wounded leg. It crumpled under my weight with a painful crack, but the priest didn't scream. Instead, I heard him start to laugh. "What's so funny?" I growled as I pushed down on his wounded leg again, and he yelped in pain.
"Khonzu knew you'd be hasty to kill us." The High Priest half whimpered, half chuckled. "This is why he sent us to die, like lambs to the slaughter."
"What kind of sick fucker sacrifices his own men?"
"The kind who needs a blood sacrifice to activate a resurrection spell."
The High Priest rasped as he stared up at me with crazed, glassy eyes.
Do you recognize the hand? It's the hand of Div. He might not have been a loyal servant of Khonsu in life, but he can serve now in death. Do you remember what Div could do?
Div's hand? How the fuck did the OLG get a hold of that?
He died like a bitch,
I reminded the High Priest.
Just like your two friends.
A worthy sacrifice, as mine will be too. Now, bastard of Bast, witness the faces of your demise.
The High Priest began to cackle as the severed hand on the ground glowed more intensely, and my heart fell into my stomach.
Ah, fuck.
Guess it didn't matter how the OLG obtained Div's hand, because as much as I was playing it tough right now, I remembered damn well what Div could do. He could use his magic to summon monsters from a shadow dimension. Monsters that were a bitch to hurt and even harder to kill. I instantly jumped toward Div's severed hand, raised my foot, and brought it down on the glowing appendage as hard as I could. The second my paw slammed into the hand, it shattered into a million pieces of bone and dried flesh, and the silver magic dissipated across the landscape. But the otherworldly glow didn't disappear. Instead, it simply formed a massive circle around the perimeter of the clearing, and then started to swirl around us like an ethereal tornado.
Carter!
Leah yelled from across the way.
What's happening?
You don't want to know, love.
Ada said with a hint of fear in her voice.
Just be ready to fight.
If I would,
Paul grumbled.
I don't see nothing.
The silver tornado continued to swirl as the High Priest laughed on the ground behind me.
Shut the fuck up,
I snarled, as I turned and leapt over to the priest's body. I landed on his head with my back paws, and his laughter abruptly cut off as his noggin exploded into a gory mess beneath me. Then I turned back to the battlefield as silvery smoke began to hiss out of the glowing circle and twisted down onto the ground, and 20 dark figures appeared out from the mist. Figures I was all too familiar with. They were quadrupedal, with lanky black arms that came up above their heads and then bent down around them like a spider. Each one had glowing yellow eyes on their faces and nothing more. No nose, no mouth, nothing. At the ends of their feet were humanoid hands that were slender and clawed, and each one of the bastards let out a snarl as they emerged out of the smoke. The Harami Ba, the servants of Osiris.